The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 5, text number 32 to 35, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 18th, 2009, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 6, chapter number 5, Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Texts 32, 33, 34, and 35.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Etavad ukta paryayau Naradamo gadarshana. Tepi chanvan gamang margang bratrinang eva marisha. Translation. Shukadev Goswami continued, O best of the advanced Aryans, after saying this much to the sons of Prajapati, Daksha, Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers. Not attempting to produce children, they engage themselves in Krishna consciousness. Sadrichinam pratichinam prajasyanu patangata nadyapite nevartante paschima yaminiriva. The Savalashvas took to the correct path, which is obtainable by a mode of life meant to achieve devotional service or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like knights that have gone to the west, they have not returned even until now. Etasmin kala utpatan bahun pashyan prajapati Purvavan Narada Kritang Putranasham Upashrinot. At this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs, and he heard from various sources that his second group of sons, the Savalashvas, had followed the path of their elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada. Chukrodha Naradayasau. Putra shoka vimurchita devarsham upalabhyaha roshad vishparitadara. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When he heard that the Savalashvas has also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was angry at Narada and he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began trembling in anger, and he spoke as follows, purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Narada Muni had delivered the entire family of Swayambhuva Manu, beginning with Priyavrata and Uttanapana. He had delivered Uttanapana's son, Dhruva, and he had even delivered Prachinabarhi, who was engaged in fruitive activities. Nevertheless, he could not deliver Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha saw Narada Muni before him because Narada had personally come to deliver him. Narada Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement because the time of bereavement is a suitable time for appreciating bhakti yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, four kinds of men, artha, one who is distressed, Artarti, one who is in need of money, Jigyasu, one who is inquisitive, and Gyani, a person in knowledge, try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So the preachers, they use their intelligence. They're always looking for the opportune moment to preach Krishna consciousness. In other words, sometimes a person is more receptive to Krishna consciousness. And sometimes he is less receptive. So the expert preacher knows how to strike when the iron is hot. But sometimes, even when people would normally be receptive, if they are very demoniac, they are still not receptive. As in the case of Prajapati Daksha. Instead of becoming appreciative that I am in lamentation and now Narada Muni is coming to free me from my lamentation, he becomes like a snake and he trembles in anger against Narada Muni. So, this is the thankless job of being a preacher. The preacher gives so much to help people. He gives his whole life to help people become Krishna conscious. But sometimes they remain just like snakes. They're envious of the preacher of Krishna consciousness. So does the preacher think to retaliate if he is treated in an offensive way? Does the preacher think to retaliate, to take revenge? No, he is very, very tolerant, like an ocean of mercy. even if he is treated in an offensive way, he still continues giving loving kindness. Of course, one has to be careful. It is said that if you feed milk to a poisonous snake, it will simply increase his venom. This is why it is stated that one should not preach to the faithless. If by your preaching you increase their animosity against God, that is namapara. Of course, if one is expert preacher, one can charm the snake and attract them to Krishna consciousness. That is the ideal thing. The more that one becomes expert preacher of Krishna consciousness, he becomes a snake charmer. The whole world has become like snakes, envious of God. So the devotees have to become snake charmers by wonderful kirtan, by wonderful prasadam, by wonderful Vaishnava dealings. We have to turn those snakes into human beings. So, Narada Muni is trying to enlighten this Prajapati Daksha. There are four states of mind mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada from the Bhagavad Gita. Distress, need of money, inquisitiveness and seeking knowledge. So any person who's in any one of these four categories, he can be a suitable candidate for hearing about Krishna consciousness. In this material world, everyone is more or less distressed. There are so many anxieties which are bewildering the modern day human society. So it is a very good opportunity for preaching Krishna consciousness. Global warming is there. Terrorism, AIDS, crime, drought, flooding, economic problems, problem of the world, the global economy, food shortages, swine flu. There are so many things which are causing anxiety in people's brains. And we travel around the world. We went to Hong Kong, and there are so many people that are wearing masks, afraid of catching swine flu, anxiety, you see. Hundreds of people wearing these masks on their face. Hundreds of people. They're afraid what they may breathe, you see. Now in the U.S., when you go to a grocery store, you know, they have the little baskets in the grocery store, you wheel around for the groceries. Do they have those here, little baskets? Yeah. When you go to the grocery store, they have a special hand wipe that you can wipe the basket handle so you don't get swine flu from the cart. Somebody figured out that drinking this water with all the chlorine in it is not good for the health, you see. The tap water, they say the tap water has all these chemicals, so it's not good for your health. So they decided, we will solve this health problem by having bottled water. But now there's so many millions and billions of these bottles being thrown everywhere and it's polluting the whole Earth planet. You see, these karmis, they have one anxiety. They do something to solve that anxiety. And then they create another anxiety. They do something to solve that anxiety. They create another anxiety. So the modern day society is one big stack of anxieties. Anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. One huge stack of anxiety. Because they are running their civilization on this false bodily conception. Someone is thinking, I am male. Someone else is thinking, I am female. Someone is thinking, I am Estonian, I am Latvian, I am Finnish, I am American, in this way. This bodily conception, you see, this foolish idea to think that you are the body. Because the body is changing at every minute. Dehi nosmin yata dehi. Kumaram Jovanam Jaram Tata Dehan Tara Praptir Dhiras Tatranam Huhiyati. As the embodied soul continually passes from boyhood to youth to old age in this body, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. 2.13, Bhagavad Gita. So the body is constantly changing. But the person inside that body is the same person. Where is your baby body now? Where are the atoms and molecules which constituted your baby body? They are long gone. But you are still here? That is the proof that you and the body are different. So, after seeing this proof, why do we hang on to this false identification? This is the cause of our anxiety. That we hold on to this misconception. Just like that worm. You know what that worm did? That worm? He was pulled out of the stool. Someone felt sorry for the poor fellow living in gross stool. So they pulled him out of the stool. Or give him a new home. But as soon as they let go of the little fellow, he went crawling back to the stool, you see. Home sweet home. So we laugh at that stupid worm. But we are like that. That worm is us. That's dual as our desire for sense gratification. The spiritual master mercifully comes, he plucks us away from the stool. And as soon as the Guru Maharaj lets go of us, for 1 minute we go crawling back to the stool. So what is our hope? We have to hold on to Guru Maharaj, that's our only hope. We have to hold on to the lotus feet of Guru Maharaj very tightly. And we will be safe in this stool of sense gratification. And we will not fall into this trap of Daksha, who was blessed with the Sangha of such a great Mahabhagavat, Narad Muni. Instead of appreciating that I've been blessed by the association of a great spiritual master, he became angry at the instruction, you see. We may think, well, how foolish is Daksha? But we see that the disciples also in our movement, sometimes they get angry when their spiritual master gives them an instruction. They get angry. The why Guru Maharaj has instructed me like this, you see. So we have to be very humble and submissive before our spiritual master. When he gives us an instruction, we should not become angry. We should take that instruction as our very life and soul. I was giving a lecture here, maybe last year. We came upon a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada is saying like that one has to meditate and worship the order that one receives from one's spiritual master. And then we'll become free from all lamentation. Lamentation is due to attachment to that stool of material sense gratification. But as soon as we give up that attachment to material sense gratification, and we have one attachment and one attachment only to the order of our spiritual master, then we become completely ecstatic. No more lamentation. No more anxiety. Simply bliss. Blessed with bliss. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
Is spiritual master so very happy if everyone just took his lotus feet and just fight?
If the spiritual master, what's that?
Everyone
just takes his orders, yes?
Just took his lotus feet.
Would he be very happy if everyone grabbed his feet?
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone.
Nothing to do else but only taking.
Everyone grabbed his feet, would he be very happy? Actually, that is his duty. It is the duty of the spiritual master to give the shelter of his feet to the whole world, actually. That's his duty. So, just as one becomes satisfied in executing one's duty, if one is a book distributor, one tries to distribute books and he becomes satisfied by that sincere endeavor. So it's the spiritual master's duty to give shelter of his lotus feet to the whole world. And if they come and they take shelter of his lotus feet, then that means he's successful in executing his duty. So naturally he'll be happy and satisfied. You understand?
Sankirtan devotees distribute books and very
their duty is distributing books. So when they're fully absorbed in that activity and they're successful in distributing books, then naturally they're very happy. Spiritual master's duty is to give the shelter of his lotus feet to the entire human society. So when they come and they take shelter, then it's just like distributing a book. He becomes very happy. Oh, they're taking shelter. Of course, if 10,000 people came and grabbed your feet at one time, it may be a little difficult. Therefore, there is another form of the feet. There is the Vapu feet and the Vani feet. So, some disciples who are maybe fortunate to get the actual touch, get that the actual physical contact with the feet of the spiritual master. But that is limited. Vani pada. I mean Vapu pada is very limited. But Vani pada, that form of the feet of the spiritual master, which means the instructions of the spiritual master, that is also the feet of the spiritual master. So if one can obey the orders from the spiritual master, that is the best form of his feet. So everyone should grab those feet. The Vanipada. That is, everyone should grab those feet. And if you're very, very fortunate, then you can get the Vapu Pada also. Yes.
You say one is very fortunate, one gets the Vapu Pada, but sometimes the Vapu Pada is more dangerous also.
More lenient?
More dangerous.
Dangerous.
Dangerous?
Dangerous. More dangerous.
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 Yes, it is sometimes... Yeah. It is said... Familiarity breeds contempt. So there is a getting close, although it's very sweet to get very close to the spiritual master. The danger is you may think, oh, now we are buddies. That's the problem that Arjuna had, you see. He was thinking, Krishna is my buddy. And that was when he was seeing Krishna as his buddy, his friend, he was an illusion. Therefore, he finally came to his senses. Karpanya dosho pahatas pavava. Pritcham mitang dharma samudha cheta yat shreyan shandishchitan bruhitan me shishashtehang shadimam tvam papanam. Arjuna finally realized this mistake of trying to be too close with Krishna. He said, now I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple, and his soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So, that's a very important thing. We have to always see the spiritual master as the external manifestation of the Supersoul. Not simply, you know, another one of the Prabhus. Of course, he is another one of the devotees. That's the fact. But one should never think himself on the same level with the spiritual master. One has to always see him as the external manifestation of the Supersoul. At every minute. Srila Prabhupada is very strict. One time my godbrother, Dhanavir Maharaj, they had picked up Prabhupada at the airport. I think he was driving at the time. Prabhupada was sitting there. So he asked Prabhupada, what was it like? It could have been Trivikar Maharaj. One of my godbrothers, he was driving Prabhupada in the car. Huh? It was Trivikram. Okay. Yeah. He was driving the car and Prabhupada was sitting there. And he said, what was it like? He just had come from another country. And he said, what was it like in that country, Prabhupada? Like chatting with the spiritual master, you know. How was your last visit to the previous country? Just like a chatting with a pal, you see. You know what Prabhupada said? Here's what Prabhupada said. Nothing. Cold silence. And the devotees in the back seat were chastising him. You shouldn't be asked talking with Prabhupada like that, you know. It's like, you know, we're some buddies, you know, we're two brahmacharis together. What was it like over there in Estonia, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, one has to always see the spiritual master as Krishna's external manifestation. Always remain in a state of awe and reverence. This is why one has to bow down as soon as you see the spiritual master. Going and coming. So any other questions? Yeah.
Maybe you can tell about Radha Damodar deities.
Radha Damodar deities.
Yeah. How they came.
Maharaj put them on there this morning. How they came to Tamal Krishna Goswami. Well, this little tamang, this was on the day after Nisringa Chaturdasi on Juhu Beach in Mumbai in 1978. It was an early morning walk. With Tamal Krishna Goswami and some godbrothers and disciples. Juhu Beach is a very famous beach in Bombay where all the wealthy men take their morning walks. The movie stars, the millionaires. And Prabhupada also, he very much liked that morning walk on Juhu Beach. It's about a 10-minute walk from our Juhu temple. So, since Prabhupada walked that beach many times, for us it is a holy tirtha also. So, devotees also like to get out and walk on Juhu Beach now. We feel connected with Prabhupada on Juhu Beach. So, Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami was walking there, and one day the tide was very far out to sea. The water was very far out to sea. And there was a big area of sand exposed, which was normally underwater. So, Tamal Krishna Goswami saw something shiny in the sand. And it was picked up from the sand. It was a little deity of Krishna. And so they went back to the temple. And now it's time for breakfast. So Tamal Krishna Goswami started taking his breakfast. And then he all of a sudden felt very guilty. How can I eat? Krishna has been starving, and this Krishna has been starving, stuck in the sand for who knows how long, going hungry. And I'm sitting here eating my breakfast. This is sense gratification. He immediately stopped eating. He began polishing the deity. And they had an abhishek and a whole thing for the deity. And then some... Then was it the queen of Udaipur, some wealthy, very wealthy lady of aristocratic royal family of Rajasthan? She donated a Radharani to match. So in this way, on the day after Nisringa Chatushi in 1978, the worship of Damodar was begun, and then Radharani came shortly after them. So for many years, this deity traveled with Tamal Krishna. These deities of Radha and Damodar traveled with Tamal Krishna Goswami all over the world. And then he gave them to my wife. So that's how they've come. They're very special deities. It's not that we have brought them to Estonia. They have brought us to Estonia. Shishi Radhadamadar ki jai. Is there anything else? All right, we'll stop here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.